Probably all of us know this, but this is referred to as Good Friday. Whether they go to church or whether they fully recognize Good Friday, the entire world realizes this is what is referred to as Good Friday. Why is this such a significant day on the calendar of the world? Because God, the Bible says God is one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son was sent into the world. This was prophesied thousands of years before. We were told in the Bible that God was going to come into the world in the person of the Messiah, his Son. You may know him as Jesus Christ. There is no person like him because he is the Son of God. On this day, the purpose for which he came into the world happened. They put him on the cross about 9 o'clock in the morning. He died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a reason why God came from heaven to go to the cross. On the cross, Jesus Christ took the curse of our sins. He was not a sinner because he's God. But we have sinned. And I'll show you some verses in a minute that prove it, but let me give you a way that you will know that you have sinned against God and broken his laws. Are you going to die? You say, well, everybody does. Yes, because every person on earth is a sinner and has broken God's laws. That's why God came into this world and went to the cross to take the curse of our sins for us. So Christ took the curse of our sin. Why? First thought, because of what we are. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody else. They may have one nearby. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all in time past, or once, conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and here it comes, and we were by nature the children of wrath. The children of wrath? Yes, because this says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. By nature, we are the children of wrath because we have broken the laws of God. In our natural condition, when we were born into this world, we are under the judgment of God because we all break God's laws. We are sinners. So everyone in the world needs a Savior. needs Christ. I want to know where I'm going when this body dies. And God tells us that if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, who took our sin curse on the cross, if we will accept that payment, he will declare us righteous in his eyes as an entrance into heaven. In other words, my sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. They are paid for. They're gone. And you are clean. You're declared righteous in God's eyes. Physical death is the visible evidence that all of us are sinners and need a Savior. We die because we've sinned. But notice what Christ did for us. Turn now to the book of Galatians. It's right before the book of Ephesians. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law, for it is written. Now listen to this. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in, get this, all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. What? What he just said was, if you don't, you say, well, I think I'm good enough. Have you broken any of God's laws? You're going to have to be honest and say yes. This says, if we have not kept all things, every law of God, we are under the curse of judgment for our sins. So that's why Christ came. And the scripture says, look at verse 13 of Galatians. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how did he do that? Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's a cross. Oh, did you see what it said? He became a curse for us. That's why Christ was crucified. That's the message. That's the basic message of the Bible. God loves us, doesn't want to see us die and go to hell, because we're sinners and have broken his laws. But he loves us so much that he sent his own son to go to the cross. Jesus wasn't put on there by force. He willingly laid down his life. It wasn't an accident. It was something that God had already planned for him to do when he came to earth. This is why he came. You say, how do I know that he actually paid for my sins? Listen. Jesus said, you will know that I actually made the payment for your sins. Count 3 days. I will come back to life. Nobody can do that. But he did. And that's called Easter. And that's this Sunday. He died today. But on Sunday we will gather, because he arose from the grave as the visible proof that he made the payment for us on the cross. Easter, we call it. Resurrection Day. Let me quote a verse to you before we serve you the Lord's Supper. Just listen, and this is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, but let me just quote it to you. In other words, I'm quoting from the Bible. Here's what it says. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into this wicked world to bring us eternal life through his death on the cross. The verse goes on. In this act, we see what real love is. It is not our love for God, but his love for us when he sent his son to satisfy God's anger against our sins. So he took the payment. He took the curse for us because God loves us. The message of Good Friday, God loves us. How do you know? Because he came down here to our sin-cursed world. Can you imagine, with the sole purpose to go to the cross to make the payment to save our souls from hell? Wow. We observe the Lord's table. You have a little cup. Now let me explain something to you if you aren't aware of this. The Bible teaches us that there are two ordinances. An ordinance, something that is ordained, meaning something declared, and it's declared by our Lord. God has set up for his church, made up of the people who have been saved from the curse, received the payment. If you've received the payment, you're part of the church, the body of Christ. But he gave us two ordinances, two things that we are to practice, and both of them are symbols. You can't tell, but back here underneath the choir loft, if we took the lid off back here, there's a pool there of water. It's a baptismal. The first ordinance is baptism. When you receive Christ as your Savior, Jesus said, if you've accepted me, I want you to be baptized. Baptism is a public declaration of your faith that you have in him. You say, well, how is it a public declaration? Watch. When I baptize somebody, they stand in the water. The first thing I ask them is, do you know for sure that you put your faith in Christ who died on the cross? Yes. Now they're going to picture it for everybody else. We believe in our heart, but you demonstrate it through baptism. You say, how? When you stand in the water, you are picturing Jesus hanging on the cross. I then let you down into the water, and if we stopped right there and took a snapshot, you look just like you're buried. And then I bring you back up out of the water. That pictures the fact that he rose again the third day, the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says there are three parts to the gospel: the death of Christ on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. He died on Friday and was buried. he rose again on Sunday, Easter. It's a picture of the gospel. So the reason we baptize is so that you can make a public profession of your faith. You can say you believe in your heart, but nobody can see that. But if you say, I want to be baptized, that's what the Lord says. You should be, so that you can demonstrate it to everybody. That I died for you, you're buried, rose again from the grave. So that is the ordinance of baptism. Baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. We are united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. It is a one-time act. We get baptized one time, not to be repeated. You don't need to repeat it. That's pictures our union with Christ. This is communion. Baptism is one of the ordinances. The Lord's Supper is the other one, and that's what we're going to do in just a minute. Baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. The Lord's Supper symbolizes our communion or fellowship with Christ. Our union with Christ in baptism is a single, never to be repeated act. Our communion is a regularly repeated act. We do this. In fact, he said, do this until I come. So we are going to now observe one of the symbols of the crucifixion. You say, how is it a symbol of the crucifixion? Because the bread pictures his body that he took when he came from heaven, came into this world. And the cup pictures the blood that he shed on the cross. So notice, it's a beautiful symbol, and the Lord said, I want you to continue to do this until I come back. Why? Because I want you to remember that you were saved from your sins because I came in a body and shed my blood on the cross for you. Wow, what a beautiful portrait that is. So let me come down and I have, and I think all of you have your cup. Hold it just a second. We're going to participate together. We'll eat together and we will drink together. But let me give you a little bit of information about what we're going to do. Would you turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. Okay. Listen carefully. This ordinance, the Lord's Supper, looks in four directions. Four directions. First of all, there's the inward look of examination. You say, what do you mean? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, he says, therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning or recognizing or giving honor to the Lord's body. Oh, there is the inward look Before you partake of these elements tonight, you're supposed to examine your heart. Do you know the Lord? Are you living for the Lord? Do you love the Lord? We are to be have our hearts prepared to make sure that we don't do this in a disrespectful way. Now, this doesn't literally become Jesus' blood and his body. No. These are symbols. But they picture his body and his blood. So he says there's the inward look of examination. So examine your heart. Make sure that you're ready to partake tonight. Second thought. Second look. There's a backward look of commemoration. You say, what do you mean? Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Here comes the statement. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, it looks back to him. And then he says, in the same manner also he took the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. There's the inward look of examination. There's the backward look of commemoration. We are to remember the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because that's how we are getting to heaven. He paid for our sins on the cross. Then he says, there is an outward look of proclamation. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or you tell the message of the Lord's death. Oh. We do this because it reminds us of the Lord's death on the cross. That's the outward look. It's a proclamation that we're making. When I eat this bread in a few minutes and drink this cup, I'm saying to everybody, I remember the Lord's death on the cross. God came into this world in a body and shed his blood on the cross to save me. And God doesn't want me to forget that. So we're to do this on a regular basis to remind us of the cross. Oh, what a powerful picture. Oh, and by the way, there's one more. Not just that inward look of examination, the backward look of commemoration, remembrance of the Lord, the outward look of proclamation to proclaim the message of his death, but there's the upward look of expectation. Did you notice in that verse, chapter 11, verse 26, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are to keep having communion until Jesus comes back. And you've heard me say this 100 times. But it's possible. This is the last time I will take communion. Who knows? He may be coming back this weekend. And this will be the last time we will ever do this. Praise the Lord. But we've remembered him right up to his coming. Do this until I come. he says. And so, if you have your cup, let me say a brief prayer, and then we will partake of the elements. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. You, the God who sent your Son into the world to die on the cross, on this day, many years ago, to take our curse, to save our souls, to take us to heaven when we die. Oh God, thank you. We cannot thank you enough for what you've done. And when we partake of these elements, it's reminding us once again of what you did for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And so as we eat the bread, drink the cup, we remember your death until you come back for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you will, pull the little part back where the wafer is. Probably already done that. This is a symbol of his body. The bread that he took, and by the way, and I preached messages on this, they had gathered, and there was a table before them, and there was bread on that table, unleavened bread. It was the Passover that they were observing because they were Jewish. And he reached for the bread of the Passover table and said, "This is my body." He gave it special significance. So let's all eat together. And then, if you will, we want to drink the cup. As I said, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do this, you remember me." Let's all together drink the cup. And once again, Lord, we thank you that we have remembered your death. And Lord, we know that by now, many years ago, you were in the grave. But on the third day, you said you would come out. If you don't come back today or tomorrow, this Sunday, we will gather to celebrate the fact that you came out of the grave. You rose again, and we look forward to that day. Thank you for all you've done for us. And if there's a person here who's never, ever been born again, never received Christ, may they know that they can make that decision in their heart right now, where they are, in their pew. Simply say, "I know I'm a sinner. Jesus took my curse, and I want that payment, so I'll go to heaven." And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.